Amen. Whew. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? He's so, so faithful. Whew. So if you have your Bibles, we are going to continue on with this amazing story, 2 Kings 8, of the Shunammite woman. Nope, it's not. I wrote 8. I keep doing that. It's 2 Kings 4. 2 Kings 8 is next week because I found out that this part isn't even the end of the story. Your gift makes room for you, and even chapters, or in this case, years later, you'll see next week. We've been talking about the Shunammite woman, and I've told you I have read this story 100 times and never seen it relate to finances. But you know, when you're praying and you're seeking the Lord, he's so good. He just makes the word alive. And that's what I love about his word. Linda and I met this week and we were talking about how amazing God's word is, that it's alive and active. So you can read the same portion of scripture 101 times, but on 102, you see something completely different, right? It's amazing. And that's why it's so important to be in your word. I know I say that a lot, but I'll say it again. It is so important to be in your word because that is the tools that God gives you every day to face the things that you're coming up against or the things in your life. He gives you a way, and he shows you so many times through his word. A lot of people say the Old Testament, that's great for Sunday school. I disagree. It is great for Sunday school, but it's even greater than that because there are life lessons that we can learn in these characters that God gave us to not just be cute little Bible stories, but they can be life-changing stories for you if you will grab hold of them. And that's what we're seeing in the Shunammite woman. As I shared 2 weeks ago, she decided to make a room for the man of God. And in making this room, it goes along with the verse of Proverbs 18:6. A man's gift given in love or courtesy makes room for him and brings him before great men. She gave her gift of supplying a room for him because she wanted to honor him. It was out of love and respect that she built this room for the man of God. And every time he passed through, that's where he would stay. And we see that he wants to do something for her because that's the heart of God. When you give, he wants to give back. And so he asked his assistant, Gehazi, what can we do for her, right? And he asked the woman, would you like me to speak for you for the king? Because he had a way into the king's presence. He could have spoken for her. And she says, no, I'm good. And he asked his assistant, what can we do for her? And Gehazi says this, she has no son and her husband is old. We talked about that God knows the desires of your heart, even if you may have never even voiced them. Maybe if you're afraid to voice them because it's a desire so deep inside of you, your gift makes room for you. Your gift makes room for you. And what happens? She comes to him and he tells her, a year from now, you're going to hold a son in your arms. What? The most unbelievable thing. My husband's old. Don't mess with me, is what she basically said. Don't mess with your maidservant here. This can't be. And yet a year from that date, she held a son in her arms. A miracle. She held a son. Her gift made room for her. And we talked about how a lot of times when a gift is given or a word is spoken or something that God blesses your life with, the enemy will try to come in to kill, steal, and destroy. And we saw this last week, that what happened? Her son has a headache. They bring him in for the field, and he passes away in her arms. But we learned some very important things about what happens when an enemy comes to attack. And it comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We learned the first thing that she did was she took her son straight into the presence of God. Now, in those days, there was still a separation because of sin. She couldn't just walk in. So the next best thing, she took him and laid him where the man of God was. She wanted him in that presence. And then we saw her confession, right? What does she say to her husband and to Gehazi when he comes out to ask her? All is well. Let me say it again. All is well. We got to stop looking at our circumstances when the enemy comes in to kill, steal, and destroy and freak out. We got to stop that. We need to start saying, all is well. I am a giver and a tither, and all is well. Even when she gets to the man of God, when she gets to Elisha, she still doesn't say that her husband or that her son is dead. That doesn't come out of her mouth. She tells him, "You got my hopes up, and I told you not to get my hopes up." And at that moment, Elisha knew it was her son. And he grabs Gehazi and he says, "You take my rod and you run. Don't greet anybody. Don't talk to anybody. You go straight to that kid. Your gift makes room for you." It was not common practice, especially for a woman, to be able to come straight into the presence of a man of God. But in this story, we see she came straight in and she grabbed hold of him. Sometimes when things happen and it doesn't look good, you need to go straight into the presence of God and grab hold. And what does she say? "I am not leaving you." And Gehazi tries to push her away, and the man of God says this, "No." Why? Her gift made room for her into the presence of greatness or of great men. And that's where we left off last week, was all is well. You take that thing, you take that problem, you take that circumstance, and you go straight to the presence of God with it. Your confession stays, all is well, and you grab hold of the Lord. And you don't let go. And let's continue on with this story. And it's in verse 31 that we're going to start. Gehazi went ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, "The boy has not awakened." When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in and shut the door on the two of them and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay on the boy mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hand to hand. And as he stretched himself out, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away again and walked back and forth in the room and then got on the bed and stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." And he did. And when she came, he said, "Take your son." She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. And then she took her son and went out. Now, I remember asking the questions in Bible college. Why the eyes to eyes, mouth to mouth? What was that whole thing? I remember what the professor told me. He said, "You know what? God doesn't do things the same every single time." And the man of God prayed, and that's what the Lord told the man of God to do. So whatever it is the Lord tells you to do, doesn't matter how crazy or peculiar it sounds, you best be doing what best be doing what God tells you to do. And I love this passage of scripture, because the very first thing that this woman does, well, she didn't go to her son. She fell at her knees and she thanked the Lord. Whoops. She thanked the man of God. And so often we grab hold of what God has done and we run away. And we need to take lessons from this woman. What an amazing woman she was. She was a Shunammite. She wasn't even an Israelite. She was a Shunammite woman, and yet she had grabbed hold of truths that we need to grab hold of today. That you don't even let the words of someone else affect you. Elijah didn't allow Gehazi's words to affect him. He didn't go, "Oh, well, I guess that's it." No, he went in, closed the door, and prayed to the Lord. Again, you see getting alone with God and standing on what he said. And then he acted on what the Lord told him to do. And the boy is brought back to life. And so often in these stories, we go, "Oh, that's great." No. Stop and think about this. This isn't Jesus' days. This is before Jesus. This is a supernatural miracle. Your gift makes room for you. Her son is brought back from the dead. That is phenomenal. Phenomenal. And yet she walks in, and the very first thing she does is she bows down in worship. And she praises the Lord for what he has done. She knew all along something had to change. Because she continued to say, "All is well. All is well." And what happens at the end of this part of the story? She doesn't walk out of that room alone. She walks out with her son. Your gift will make room for you. Such a powerful, powerful word. That as you give out of love and honor and respect of the Lord, he will bless you. And the enemy, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy anyway. But when he comes in to kill, steal, and destroy something the Lord has promised you or given you, you grab that thing and you go straight to the presence of God. And then you run and you grab hold of the Lord and say, I'm not leaving. Because all is well, and I know you gave me this, and it is still mine. And then if it's a peculiar thing that he tells you to do, who cares? You want your son back, right? You want your promise back, right? Then you grab hold of that thing, and whatever it is, you do it. And then you praise him and you worship him when you see that that thing is still alive. Because you are walking out with it. Your gift makes room for you. Your tithes and offerings, those aren't a game. They aren't a churchy thing. They move mountains. They open ways for you. They're your miracle ushering into. God has incredible things planned for us. And as we give out of love and respect and honor, he is going to make room for us. Amen. But the coolest part is, the story's not over. So often we put a timeline. Well, I gave that gift here, so the harvest was probably right after. But we see part of her harvest was she had a son, right? That was part of her harvest. But did the harvest end there? No. Her son was given back to her again. And then the rest of the story, don't miss next week, because it's years later when she receives the fullness of her gift, making room for her. We serve a big God. And when you give your gift, there is no end of days for him. A day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So as you give your gifts today, as you bring your tithes and offerings, be expecting that harvest, but don't expect for that to be ended. God has big things in store for us, and our gift will make room for us into greatness. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you for this amazing story. We thank you for this woman who chose the choices that she made and is in your words so that we could have her example, Father. What amazing faith to be able to look death in the eye and say, all is well. And the faith she had to grab hold of the man of God and not let go. And Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to your word, that her son was restored to her. And we praise you, Father, that that's not even the end of the story yet. That we get to hear next week that her gift continued to make room for her. I just pray, Father, for every person here today, as they give their tithes and offerings today, God, I just thank you and I praise you for encouraging them. Lord, if there are things that are still in their heart, maybe they're at the beginning stage where there's something still in their heart that they're not even sure they can ask for, God, I pray that you would just give them the desire of their heart today. And maybe they have that desire of their heart, and yet the enemy has tried to come and kill, steal, or destroy that. Father, let them hold on. Let them hold on and declare all is well. And then, Father, we just praise you and we thank you for breathing life back into that promise, breathing life back into that dream, breathing life back into that loved one, breathing life back into that situation, breathing life back into that relationship, breathing life back into those finances, breathing life into whatever it was that looked dead. We thank you that today we are walking out with our promise. We are walking out with that thing that the enemy tried to come against us. And we praise you, Father. We rejoice. We thank you so much, Father, that you have provided a way for us to be able to give this amazing God economy that takes sense. Well, it doesn't make sense, really. It takes sense and turns it into amazing, miraculous things in our finances and in our lives. And God, we thank you today for your faithfulness to your word, that as we give today, it's going to make room for us into greatness. We praise you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
You know, I'm married to a pastor. I'm married to one of them prosperity preachers. Amen. And I'm so glad. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to bless this word today. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Holy Ghost, for translating this to us, Lord, for interpreting this to us in ways we can receive and understand. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome back to 9 Fruits and 9 Gifts of the Holy Ghost. If you didn't know, this is a Holy Ghost church. Praise the Lord. And, you know, the Holy Ghost is the one that Jesus sent to the church. Amen. And we are a church, so we're qualified to receive the Holy Ghost. If Jesus is Lord of your life, then that qualifies you to receive the Holy Spirit for your life. Amen. And, you know, the Holy Spirit comes into our heart when we get saved, but then we can also be baptized with the Holy Ghost and pray in other tongues and just, you know, be a part of the supernatural things that God is doing. And that's along the lines of what we've been teaching on this year. And the inspiration for this message came with the prophetic word over the year from Brother Copeland, who I respect as a prophet of God. And, you know, not everybody out there that has I'm a prophet card will I listen to, right? But he's definitely one that I've looked at, and many, many, many others have looked at over the years and said, yeah, he is the real deal. Amen. And one of the things that the Lord gave him for 2018, which is where you are, if you were wondering, amen, we're on the back nine, but we're still there, is that 2018 is the year of the Holy Ghost and fire, amen? And part of that fire is to burn trash out of my life, amen? And also, I want to be on fire for Jesus. If you remember in Acts, I think chapter 2, When the disciples are up in the upper room, what comes into the room? A mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire that rested on each one of them. Amen. So somebody say, I'm open to that. I'm open to you, Lord. And wherever we're at, there's more. Somebody say, there is more. One of my favorite ministries is More Life Ministries. Not just because of the name, but I love Brother Keith Moore, but I love how he titled his ministry, More Life. There's more. There's more with God all the time. Amen. And so wherever we're at, just always be open for more. Amen. Last night, Shelley made a really good dinner, and I just wanted to have more, and then have more, and then have more. And there was more football on, and then Lacey brought some little pack of donuts from the store, and after I had one, I wanted more. But I restrained myself from that. Amen. Praise the Lord. But there is always something more God has for us. And we should never get in, and I've heard others teach this too, that we should never get to the point, I think Pastor George I heard say this, but we should never get to the point where we say, I've heard that before. Even if you hear something preached that you've heard a dozen times or more, don't get into the place, I've heard that, I know that. No, 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 no. Then you're closing yourself off from more. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's like when the Lord told me, you know, a number of years ago, Steve, the faith thing is great, but you really need to have a deeper understanding about my love for you. And my first thought was, I know that. Yes, Jesus loves me, right? No, no, Steve, you need to dig deep. And I'll tell you what, I'm still digging. Amen. If there's one thing that I need to know more about every day is God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. Say that. God loves me. Yeah, it's, well, you're so, you selfish thing, thinking about you. Well, he's thinking about me. Religion will say that's a selfish thing to think about how much God loves you. But I was not called to be religious. I was called to a relationship with God. Amen? And my relationship with God does not flow through you. It flows to him. Amen? And praise the Lord. We're a body. We love one another. We, you know, embrace each other. And but it all flows out of our love for the Lord. Amen? And his love for us. Like last night, I just got into my word last night before I turned in for the night. And I just was, okay, Lord, what do I want to read? And I flipped over to 1 John and started reading about the love of God, the love of God, the love of God, the love. Just kind of letting it wash over me, right? And I started to drift off, and suddenly the Holy Ghost just ignited something inside of me. Jesus is alive, right? No matter what issue you're going through, no matter what challenge you're facing, no matter what things in your life seem like they're just not changing, right? Don't ever confess that over yourself, right? Whatever you're believing for, it just ain't happening. Just get a piece of duct tape and put it over your mouth, if that's right. Yes, it is happening. It is working. Somebody say, the word is working in me, right? The word is working. How often does the word of God fail? Never, because whose words are they? They're God's words, right? Amen. And I was just kind of dozing on the couch and meditating. And, you know, after I had looked at 1 John a bit and read into some verses about my Father loves me and the great love of God. And just all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost jumped up on the inside of me. Jesus is alive. God raised him from the dead. And if God delivered and raised Jesus Christ from the grave and all the trash he had to go through for that 12-hour period of his life, might have been longer than that, amen. All the junk, all the beating and the torture and the murder and the crucifixion and the betrayal, right? And the public humiliation, amen. There, you know what? There's a word for somebody, I don't know if it's in this room, but somebody maybe who's listening later, that Jesus bore your public humiliation. So roll it over onto him and keep rolling, amen. I love the gentleman that's the Supreme Court candidate right now that we're praying for. And he's going through what many would say hell on earth, him and his family, with all these nasty accusations and things that likely aren't even true. Amen. But I love his heart. He said, I refuse to quit. You know what? How many people would just throw in the towel with what he's been going through? I don't need this later for this nation. I'm not going to quit. And don't you know the body of Christ needs some I'm not going to quit, right? But I'm laying there, and all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost just rises up. Jesus is alive. God raised him from the dead. And guess what? If he raised a man from the grave after being tortured and humiliated and all this stuff happening to him, that what does that not cover of anything I could ever go through, right? It covers everything. Amen? And it just gave me this fresh dose of faith for for the daily things that we go through, right? Just, you know what? Jesus is alive. That's why I'm here today, because Jesus is alive. Because he's risen. Well, that's not just a message for Easter Sunday. He is alive, and he's alive on the inside of me, and he's alive on the inside of you. Amen? And he sent us the Holy Ghost, right? That's great news. Nine fruits and nine gifts, and we're talking about releasing the power of the Holy Ghost in you. Aren't you glad he is the Spirit of power, right? He's not just a make-believe, fictitious, mythological, right? We're not talking Zeus and Hermes and Diana and all these things, right? We're talking about the Spirit of God is on the inside of you. And you can be baptized with the Holy Ghost right now. You just lift your hands and say, Lord, I receive a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit today. I receive Jesus as Lord of my life, and I receive your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. But Romans 15:13 is our foundation text for this, and it's, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So he's not filling you with a what or an it. He's filling you with a who, right? The Holy Spirit is a who, not a what or an it. Amen. And he brings the joy. He brings the peace. He brings the faith. He brings the power. He brings the love. All these things that we've been ministering on for the past several weeks, right? Amen. Which you can, again, revisit on our on the website, the Grow Faith page, redeemed-church.org. They're all there. Praise the Lord. Amen. And in Acts 1:8 says this, but you shall receive power. Somebody say power, right? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The power for what? The power to believe, the power of healing, the power of faith, right? The power to persevere. That's another word that God gave us for this year, is that 2018 will be the year of patience and perseverance. A not quitting attitude. I'm in it for the long haul. Well, how do you do that? By the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Praise the Lord. So the gifts of the Spirit is what we're on right now, receiving and activating the fruits and gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we've been ministering on the gifts of the Spirit. So it's important to remember that they are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So if he's in you, the gifts are in you. Amen? You don't have to go hunting somebody down that has that gift. Now, praise God, there are people that have, you know, an extra dose of the ghost in some areas, right? I think of, you know, we're going to be ministering today on the gifts of healings and miracles, right? And there, I can think of several people over the decades that have had a supernatural gift of healings and miracles. You think of Benny Hinn. You think of, I know there's a man, Billy Burke, that I've heard of the past few years. I think Catherine Kuhlman operated a lot in that back in the day, right? Amen. Oh, and there's people that we probably don't even haven't heard of, haven't seen on television and things, but they go into a place and people just start getting healed. Amen. That's a gift. That's the gift of the Holy Ghost, right? But guess what? You don't have to wait for a healing, gifted evangelist to come into the room for you to receive your healing. I have an autographed copy of Oral Roberts' autobiography on my shelf. And some sweet lady took a picture of him autographing it for me, and his wife Evelyn sitting right next to him, and I'm sitting there, and we're looking at each. It's precious to me, right? Amen. What a healing anointing that was on Brother Roberts. Amen. But guess what? That healing didn't come for Brother Roberts. It came from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, totally, no question, gift of healing operating in and through that man, right? Brother Keith Moore, we talk about a lot around here. Gift of healing on that man, right? I heard several testimonies over the Believers campaign this past summer of people that were saying, while he was teaching, he wasn't even laying hands on people. While he was teaching, I saw a light in my spirit, and I walked out of here healed. And I've heard him share that he was with Brother Hagin Sr. for many years, for like 17 years, teaching in his Bible college on healing. I was listening to Brother Keith teach, and you know, from a older message, and he was saying, you know what? I taught, I think he said, three times a day in Rhema Bible College on healing. Healing in the morning, healing in the afternoon, healing in the evening. And he said, you know, a funny thing. During the years that I was teaching on healing, I never had a symptom, never had a pain, never had any health issues. He said, because I was always, always, always in the Word and what it has to say about healing. Amen. So there's a connection there, isn't it? And the Holy Ghost is opening our eyes to things and showing us that we have a part to play in, you know, he's the giver, we're the receivers. Amen. So whenever we see a verse that has to do with healing, it should pop up in our minds, that's for me. That's for me. Why is it recorded in here? Because it's for me. Amen? Praise the Lord. And in my notebook here, for example, this is a three-section notebook. And one section I have for healing verses, one section I have for prosperity verses, and one section I have for church verses. right now. That's what I'm working on this year. And then when if I'm feeling a symptom or just want to stand for something, I'll open up and say, Isaiah 10:27 says, in that day, your burden shall be taken away off your shoulder and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing oil. What does that tell me? That tells me all sickness yokes are destroyed. Amen? And I love how Brother Copeland teaches. He says, you know, a lot of Christians receive faith and build up their faith, but they don't know how to release their faith for something. And he says, and I believe this, and there's a number of scriptures that would confirm this, right? Out of your mouth, what you say is how you release your faith for something. So in other words, I could read the verse, look at the verse, know where the verse is, and 9 or 10 others like it, and yet still be battling with that thing if I don't release my faith for the answer to that, right? And how do I do that? We just did it, right? Lord, I claim what Isaiah 10:27 says right now. All burdens and yokes are removed from my life by the anointing oil, which symbolizes the Holy Ghost. Amen. Right? Praise the Lord. And so you just get you a list going. Amen. I've had it in my iPhone before, but somehow I erased those. So there's something about, and I've heard, even Shelley has said this too, that there's something about looking at things in your own handwriting that you know, educators will say you'll learn it quicker if you write it and you read it in your own hand and you say it with your own mouth. Man, I'll tell you what, look out. Look out, right? And so we're talking about healing and miracles today and how to receive. 1 Corinthians 12:4-7-10. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now you'll notice too, it's healing is a gift. These things are gifts. They're something that's given to you, right? But if I give you a gift, right? If I walk up to you and hand you the keys to a vacation house at the coast, I just love you, want you to go enjoy this with your family. You could say, thank you, and receive it. Or you could say, oh, no. I don't deserve that. That's not for me. That would take my eyes off of Jesus. Right? No. What are we talking about? We're saying, yes, God has offered us gifts. He's offered the world the gift of salvation. Has everyone received that gift? No. Not everyone has received that gift. Jesus died on the cross for everybody, everybody, everyone. Has everyone received it? No. Amen. So it's in the same way, these gifts here that are offered to the church by the Holy Ghost need to be received. Amen. Church ought to be a place that we don't always feel comfortable coming to, right? Just listen to, not yesterday probably too, but last Sunday's Eagle Mountain International Church Sunday morning service, they pretty much laughed the whole service. Just the joy of the Lord overtook the service. And they're laughing at sickness. They're laughing at disease. This preacher came in, Brother Haskins, I think was his name. Mark Hankins, yeah, thank you. And just brought a dose of the joy of the Lord. And I found myself with my earpiece on my iPhone driving around. Ha, 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 ha. Probably people are looking at me like, what is he on? You're going to be on something, right? Might as well be on the Holy Ghost. Amen. But these gifts have to be received by the body of Christ. Amen. The same Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Praise God. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. Boy, you think about faith, I think about Brother Copeland and many others. But there's a gift there. Amen. Praise God. And what's it for? The profit of all. All meaning the body of Christ. Amen. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Tongues is another great example. Has everyone received the gift of tongues in the body of Christ? Hardly. Hardly. Right? Why? Because it's weird. Because I don't understand it. Because it looks weird. It sounds weird. Amen? But we're seeing here in the Word that it's not weird. It's Word. Right? Amen. So we need to get used to receiving from God. Receiving from the... Now, there's been some weird stuff in the body of Christ. No question. Right? Amen? And so we need to be smart sheep and be able to tell the difference of what's real and what ain't real. Amen? And that's also who the Holy Ghost is. He shows us what's the real deal and what's not. Amen? But even if something's not, it's not my place to make a website about it, to educate other believers that this ministry is wrong. I'll tell you what, man, there is something called, you know, it's not my place to judge the brothers and sisters of Christ or build a ministry on judging other ministries. Yikey shnikey is all I got to say about that. And there are ministries out there that build their ministries on tearing down other ministries. Amen. And that ain't what it's all about. Praise the Lord. Go back to the fruits. The fruits are what qualify us for the gifts. Amen. And one of the fruits is love, right? Amen. Praise God. So just because I don't understand something doesn't mean I ought not look at it and say, where is this in the Word? Right? Where is this in the Word? Why is everyone laughing? Because they're tapping into something. You walk into a bar and you know, you'll see some people acting real happy and others real stiff. What do the real stiff people need to do? Just go take a drink? And it's like that. It should be that way in church. You come into church and there's people that are just feeling the love of God and what all these people are just faking, they're just hypocrites. Well, no, just start drinking. Start drinking. Like, again, I heard Keith Moore say the past couple months that I've been listening to him, there's been too much thinking and not enough drinking. Amen. So you crack your Word open and just start drinking. Amen. Get some good anointed preaching going and just start drinking it in. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. But we're talking today about the gifts of healings and miracles. Healings, I like the concordance here. It says a cure, to make whole. Didn't Jesus come to make us whole? Amen. But also, I was thinking of it in terms of this. There's people out there that are Spirit-filled doctors and scientists that the Holy Ghost might just show them a cure for cancer. Glory to God, right? Amen. Praise the Lord for Spirit-filled doctors and scientists and people that are studying medicine and children's hospitals and all these things, that God will show them a cure for leukemia. Praise God. A cure for breast cancer, a cure for, you know, all these different things that are destroying people's lives. Amen. There are cures. Amen. That the Holy Ghost will show his people a breakthrough medically. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. And Jesus ultimately is the cure, isn't he? He comes into a room, sickness doesn't have a chance. Amen. Remember those old Mike Tyson fights when he was the big deal? Like, what, 90 seconds? It's over. Well, Jesus, even faster than that. Jesus versus cancer, no contest. Jesus versus diabetes, no contest. Jesus versus heart disease, no contest. Jesus versus depression, no contest. He is the champion. Amen? Praise the Lord for the cure who is Jesus. I remember an old Sylvester Stallone movie. I don't remember which one it was. But he comes on the radio and he says, "You're the disease and I'm the cure." Well, Jesus has some of that in him, doesn't he? Satan, you're the disease and I'm the cure. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad the cure is on the inside of you? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And then miracles, right? Miraculous power, ability, abundance, might, strength, to be able or possible, to be of power. Hallelujah. Now, I would like to get to a place where I don't need a miracle. Amen. Praise the Lord, right? Let's just believe God that we'll never need a miracle. Praise the Lord. But why are miracles recorded in the Bible? Because God wants us to know they're real. Because he does that stuff. We can believe and receive these things. But also, I think a big thrust of today is that he wants to be doing miracles through you. He still works through his people. There's reasons why Jesus is not on the planet right now in bodily form. He's with the Father in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, sent the Holy Ghost to fill his church so the church can be his hands and feet and reach many, 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 many more people. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So miraculous power is real. A miracle is not like a wish or a genie or a good luck charm, right? Miracles are of God. He does miracles. He works in the miraculous. This Bible is full of things that he did. We'll look at a couple here in a minute. Miraculous things. And he still does it. He still does miracles. Somebody say, he still does miracles. He's in the miracle business. And guess what that means? So are you. So are you. And I love a message I heard a number of years ago from Brother Copeland talking about the woman with the issue of blood, and we shared that story last week, how she pressed through and got a hold of his garment. And Brother Copeland said something profound. He said, you know what the church needs to do? Is stop identifying ourselves with the woman and start identifying yourselves as the one with the garment on. I thought, whoa. Now, that would make a religious person madder than they already are. But guess what? That's biblical. Amen. People ought to be pressing through to you because you got your breakthrough and they need a breakthrough and you're their contact point. You're their point of contact. The woman was looking for a point of contact for her miracle, and she knew, here's a man that is, you know, God in the flesh. I don't know if she knew he was that, but she knew this is Jesus, could be our Messiah. There's something special about him. People get healed around him. I'm pressing through to get through to Jesus. This is why the church is responsible and liable that we preach faith, preach the word, preach miracles, preach Jesus, because there's people out there that will press through, that will find churches that are preaching things that they have need of in their life. And we can't be held back by unbelief, reasoning, logic, how it looks. I don't think that woman gave a rip how she looked. She had spent everything she had. She went to every doctor she could find. She had every prescription she could ever get. She was sicker than she was the day, first day she had it. She knew it could cost her life, her freedom, for going out in public. Now, I'll tell you what. That's what the church ought to be about right there. Come as you are and touch Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, right? Miraculous power. We're talking about God's power, right? That's where in the Holy Ghost we have to differentiate this. It's not me they're coming to touch. It's Jesus they're coming to touch, all right? It's not my power. It's the power of God that they need in their life. Amen. It's not my ability, my abundance. It's his abilities and abundance that we're talking about here. Amen? It's not my might or my strength. It's his strength and his might that's flowing through me. Right? His abilities. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. All things are possible to him or her who believes. Amen? And to be of power. What family are you of? I'm of the power family, right? I'm of the power family, the power of God household. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Exodus 15:26 in your notes says this: if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases. Say none of these diseases. So see, maybe that disease is God's will for your life. No. How many diseases are God's will for my life? None. How many is none? What if you multiply none by an infinity? How many is it then? I feel a joke coming on. If you have 27 nuns and you take away 27 nuns, how many nuns are left? None. So therefore one, because you still have none. Ha ha! Joke, joke, joke. Go ahead and laugh. If you have 27 different kinds of cancer and Jesus healed every one of them, right? How many are left then? None, right? You know what's interesting? The Word of God says when he was whipped, that it was like 39 times, I believe, that they would whip, because the Roman guard, if they killed the guy, could actually die themselves. So they had it down to, if we hit him 40 times, they could die. So they would push it as far as they could, right? Well, it's interesting. I haven't given blood in several years, but for whatever reason, back when I did, they give you a questionnaire to see if your blood is clean, right? And I believe there was right around 40 or 39 questions that they asked you to find out if your blood was acceptable to, you know, share with somebody. Interesting, isn't it? How many times was he beaten? About the same number of questions the Red Cross asked me about if my blood was clean. Jesus handled it all. He handled it all. What does all not include? Nothing, right? He took every disease, every sickness, right down to the smallest little cold. Don't be buying this flu season garbage, right? You don't have to participate in flu season. No, you don't have to. Take your flu shot, the body and the blood of Jesus. Amen. And just walk in faith and trust God to keep you well. Practice good hygiene, duh, right? Wash your hands, all these kind of things. Amen. But we don't have to be walking around afraid of sickness and disease. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says this right here in Exodus 15. I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now, I love this. He is the Lord who heals me. And as I shared during prayer time, there's a lot of different names of God in the Bible. And many of them, it's the person naming who they have noticed God is. Abraham says, you know, he sees the ram in the thicket. You are Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And why is that recorded? Because you can claim that. He's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. David, you know, all his enemies are about to ransack him, and God breaks through for him and destroys his enemies. And he says, you are Jehovah, you are, he says, Baal Perazim. You're the God who turned my enemies away from me. You're the God of my breakthrough. Amen? We have Psalm 23 when, again, the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. The psalmist, David, is calling God, comparing God to the shepherd, right? Well, this is one where God says himself about who he is. I am the Lord who heals you. Glory to God. It's like he's saying, as surely as I live, as surely as I exist, I will be your healer. Glory to his name. Amen. Why is that important? Well, it's important because it's something that he called himself in his word. And healing is a big word. It encompasses my body, encompasses my spirit, first of all. Isn't there a scripture that says, what good is it if you go to hell whole? If you're healthy all life long, but go to hell? You know, I'd flip it the other way if I had to make a choice. But the truth is, you can be healed and healthy and whole and still go to heaven and be even more healthy and whole forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? Because he is my healer. He is your healer. praise the Lord. I am the Lord who heals you. Spirit, soul, and body healed. Whole. Well, I ain't seeing it. Well, that's the problem. Right? I need to look at places where it is manifesting. Amen? And guess what? If it isn't manifesting, it isn't his fault. Amen? If I'm still struggling with things in my health, I need wisdom. I'll tell you what, I've been in a season of doing some fasting lately and seeking God for his wisdom and things in my own life and asking him, Lord, show me if there's things I need to change. Give me wisdom on these things. I'm claiming these things for my own life and so forth. I want breakthroughs. You know, as believers, we need to come to him with some intensity, right? Not just same old, right? Come to God expecting, come to him, you know, willing, open, right? Amen. And he'll help us. The Holy Ghost is called our helper. He's there to help me. He's not called the doer. He's not going to do it all for me, right? Amen. I love those old Little House on the Prairie movies, shows. And Nellie was always trying to get her mom to do her homework for her, right? Straight A student because mom always did her homework. The Holy Ghost ain't going to do your homework. Amen, right? He'll help you. He'll help me. But there's things I have to do. I have to get into this word, right? I have to listen and obey. Tap into it, right? Amen. The Learning Bible says it this way, or the Living Bible, rather. If you will listen to the voice of the Lord your God. So I got to be listening to God's word. Amen. And just on Sunday, it probably won't cut it. It'll help. It's better than nothing, right? But all, throughout the week, be listening to God's word, right? And obey it. So even listening, apparently, is not quite enough. I actually need to do what the word says do. Amen? And do what is right. Then I will not make you suffer the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. What is he saying there? He's saying you will be above the curse on your life. Amen? For I am the Lord who heals you. Hallelujah. I am the Lord who heals you. So if I'm listening and doing what the word of God says, amen? I qualify to be healed. Amen. So what do I ask God? Let's get real here for a minute. Lord, what am I not doing right? Oh, nothing, Steve. You're doing everything just right. No. He'll show you. He'll show me. Amen. He's our teacher. He's our guide. Son, you need to do this. Remember how I've been telling you about this for the past 25 years? And you've been claiming grace and that I understand. You need to get to work over here, Steve, right? Amen. Praise God. And he'll show us what that is, right? And when you're, guess what you do? When you obey God, you're not earning anything from him, but you get this thing called confidence before him. If I'm walking in disobedience, it affects my faith level. If I'm doing things that I know don't please God. And I love Pastor Huck would say this, if you fell off a cliff or leaped off, the results are the same, right? But if I know something that I'm supposed to be doing and I'm not doing it, right? I have to repent of that. Yes, Christians have to repent of these things and we'll see more and more of God. We'll see more and more of the supernatural. We'll experience more, and I'm preaching to me too. We'll experience more and more of his power. His power will flow through us more effectively if we're walking in areas of obedience, right? Not hiding in the darkness, not claiming the grace for every little thing I do. Praise God for the grace. Amen. I'm not saying there's no grace. Amen. But there's more. Somebody say there's more. And what that means really is, there's more of me I need to give to the Lord, right? Amen. So that I can experience more of him, right, in my life. Praise the Lord. He is the Lord who heals me. And I think healing, I even think of like a corrective word, Healing is often a corrective word. Amen. I've been sharing things about the blood pressure, things that are going on with me, and God's helped me with that. And the doctor will say things like, Steve, exercise, low salt, drink water. Got it. Doing it? I said I got it. Doing it? Does once a month count, doctor? Does walking to the, does walking into the fast food store? You understand what I'm saying? This is real. This is real. That's not difficult to understand. And when God gives us something, it's not difficult to comprehend what he's saying, right? Stop doing this, start doing this, or do less of this and more of this. And I'll tell you what, I'm breaking through. I am breaking through. I'm not thinking anymore about that 3 o'clock Starbucks. I'm thinking about it's time to refill the water again. Amen. Because guess what? This body is made 70% not of mochas, of H2O, right? That's just one example, right? But I'm talking about doing what God is telling me to do. Amen. I rebuke you, doctor. I'm a faith guy. I receive my healing. You're wrong. You are wrong. I'm healed. No, okay, shut up, Steve. Shut your lips and open your ears. You voice of the devil. Oh, isn't Jesus called the great physician? Didn't he have a physician on his team? I wonder if Luke ever went to Peter. Peter. Too much bread. You've had too much bread, Peter. Have some more fish. Ah, I'm with Jesus. Amen, right? The Holy Ghost will get to meddling in our lives, and we just need to let him meddle. Amen. I yield myself to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord forevermore. Amen. And he's helping me, and he'll help us. He'll help us all. Look at Mark chapter 9. Somebody say, the Lord is my healer. But think of it in terms of a corrector. I would step out on a branch here and say that a lot of his healing is going to come through his correction in my life. Amen. But let's take a look at this. Matthew, Mark. Yeah, Mark's in the Bible, right? Matthew, Mark, Dr. Luke, Luke's favorite Bible chapter, the book of Luke. But we're looking at Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 29. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your words today. Mark 9, 14 to 29, I'm going to read. Here we go. Ready, set, go. And when he came to the disciples, Jesus, right? He saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. People love Jesus. Amen. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. And he answered and said, how many M&Ms has he had today? No. Oh, forgive me. And he answered him and said, oh, faithless generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Notice he said, faithless generation, right? Or unbelieving. So why hasn't this boy been delivered? Lack of faith in Jesus, right? Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown himself both into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Right now, I'm not a doctor, but that sounds like seizure, right? Sounds like he's having seizures. Jesus said to him, no, we got to back up a little bit, verse 22. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can do anything, if you can do, the man says, the father of this boy, if you can do anything, have compassion and help us. Right? And Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, I want to just look at that verse for a minute. If you can believe, all things are possible. The man is saying, if you can heal him, have compassion and help us. If you can do anything, Jesus. And Jesus turns it back and says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And I heard, again, Brother Keith teaching on this week. And it came across, and even in my notes here, it's like Jesus said, if you can, you know who you're talking to here, right? I mean, I love Jesus. If you can do anything, have compassion and help us. And Jesus goes, if you can? Huh. I want that kind of confidence with God, don't you? If you can, do you know who I am? And the kid's having a seizure right there in front of him, and Jesus is having a conversation with the man, right? If you can, right? If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, we're not just talking here about a positive mental outlook, right? We're talking about putting your faith in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can believe that I can heal this man, if you can believe I will and I want to and I will do this, then it will happen. Nothing will be impossible for you. See, Christians got to stop allowing people to get in their way with their unbelief. If you can, Jesus looks at us today. If you can, if I will, stop listening to Uncle Albert. Go to last week's message if you missed it. We were rough on Uncle Albert last week. But don't let people block your faith with their unbelief. Oh, Jesus won't do that for you. He's never done that for anyone else. Who you think you are? Well, it's not who I think I am. It's who I think he is. Amen. We just read through a list. Providers in there. Healers in there. Joy, peace, all these things, right? So he says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So what's the key word here? Believe. And maybe the word if. We got to get the if out of the way, right? And what are we really talking about here? We're talking about a choice. A choice to believe. A choice to believe. Now, we talked about things that God will correct us on, but there are those things that the doctors don't have a clue what's going on. I can't fix this. I've done everything I can. This is a terminal situation or a lifelong situation that you're just going to deal with. Here's some recommendations. Here's some support groups. But Jesus says, if you can. Somebody said, I'm going to look for another opinion then. Who's ever heard that? I'm going to get another opinion. I'm not quitting on this. I'm not quitting on my miracle, right? I'm going to get Jesus's take on this. And this man finds his guys, right? Peter maybe stepped up, right? John couldn't do it. Couldn't help the boy. Here comes Jesus. If you can, yes, I can, right? Somebody say, yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he will, right? immediately. But what is it dependent upon? It's dependent upon something. Not his will. It's not based on Jesus' will, not based on Jesus' faith, not based on Jesus' ability. It's based on my choice to believe. And believe me, it is a choice to believe. Right? Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." And Jesus said, "I'll take that. I can take that and do something with that." Right? When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit. Notice Jesus didn't pray for the boy. He didn't pray for the boy. How many things right now that are being treated by you know, you see all these commercials for new drugs that have even worse side effects. How many of these things do you think maybe would be spiritually related, right? Jesus didn't pray for the boy. He spoke to the devil, didn't he, right? Jesus said, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." And the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead. So many said, "He's dead." See, the unbelievers are just always going to be unbelievers, right? God does something, and they'll say, "Well, he killed it." Right? God does a miracle, and unbelievers and religious people will find a way to cast it down and trample over, right? But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him, well, there you go. That's kind of the end of the story, right? But praise God. Somebody say, he still does this. He still does this. He still does this. He's still in the business. We'll quit right there for the day. He still does it. He never changes. He never changes. Amen. Amen. And we're gonna take a moment right now and just pray in the Holy Ghost. And we're going to release that power of healing in this place. Hallelujah. Whether it's a corrective healing, some wisdom that we need, could be a combination of supernatural, you know, input from God and some sort of corrective work that needs to be done. And I do think, again, of Brother Oral Roberts. He built a hospital. God told him to build a hospital because science does have a place in healing at times. Amen. Praise the Lord. But let's not ever negate the supernatural. The Jesus that I know teaches us to not come in and pray for the person, but take authority over the devil and cast out the spirit of infirmity. Make no mistake about it. Infirmity, sickness, disease is a demonic spirit. Hallelujah. And even though believers are filled with the Holy Ghost, things can come and sit on them and oppress them and get onto their bodies. And what do we got to do? We got to apply the blood of Jesus, and we got to remind the devil he's under my feet today. Let's all stand up on our feet and just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. We're going to just pray for a minute or two here, and we're going to bind the devil. We're going to rebuke him out of our households, out of our bodies, out of our families. We're going to declare our bodies healed and healthy and whole. And we're going to walk in new levels of obedience to God. Pray out loud. Ah, Jesus' name, just put your hand on your head and declare this by faith. Say, "Father God, in Jesus' name, I receive my health. You are Rapha, my health and healing. Every sickness, every disease, every virus, I rebuke you in the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I declare my body whole, clean, and healed. in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now hold your hands up and say, Father God, I give you my hands. I give you my whole body. I thank you that your word says, believers lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover in Jesus' mighty name. Now just begin to thank him. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for your great healing power. Your great healing power. We thank you for it, God. We thank you for it, God. And I feel that the Lord would remind us, first and foremost, he heals us not because our faith is so strong, not because, you know, we were so good. He heals us first and foremost because he loves you. Somebody say, he loves me. He loves me. And I receive the great love of God for my life today. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. God is good. Have a blessed day, everybody. We'll dismiss right there and pick it up next week. Amen.